Welcome to the Masterclass of One with Zig Ziglar Master Coach David Creel. It's called the Masterclass of One because it's about the person David is speaking to, but you can listen and act like David is asking you the questions. Then go and apply them and change your life. If you want to create impact in the lives of others, increase your personal income, and be a more productive and efficient human being, you're in the right place. We're glad you're here.
Good afternoon, boys and girls. David Creel with another episode of the Masterclass of One podcast. I'm a Zig Ziglar certified master coach, and today I am joined by my friend and client, aka the goddess of marketing, April. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thanks for asking.
There you go. Perfect.
So thanks for agreeing to have the little chat with me today. And what's on your mind? How can I help?
Well, I think my biggest goal next that I want to achieve is I want to get my weight off. That's been a real struggle for mine. And so that's kind of what I want to start on next is the goal of I want to lose 100 pounds.
Okay. So you want to lose a good sized human child?
Yes, pretty much.
Perfect. Okay. And obviously you don't need to discuss the actual number on this, but do you have a number in mind? I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me, but yeah, I'm not supposed to ask a girl.
I'm not ashamed.
How old you are and what do you weigh? I'm not supposed to ask that. If you want to divulge that information, it's on you.
I have no problem divulging how fluffy I am. There's reasons I'm fluffy, and I'm just fixing to get rid of it all.
Okay.
I'm sitting at 300 pounds right now. My ideal weight would be 175, but I know that's a large chunk, so I figured I'd go about 100. I'd be happy with.
Okay, so you currently weigh 300 pounds and you want to weigh 200 pounds. You want to weigh 175, but you'd be okay with 200.
Yes.
You'd be okay with only losing 100.
Yeah, just 100. That's it. Okay. I'd be honest, I'd be okay with 75, but my goal is 100.
Well, I like round numbers, so why don't we just call it 100?
Okay. That sounds perfect.
So when was the last time that you weighed somewhat close to 200 pounds?
Probably about 10 years ago.
Okay. And I think I know this question, but I'm going to ask anyway. Did you wake up yesterday and you were 200 and you woke up today and you were 300?
It gradually put on.
Okay.
Which is a lot of health. I've had a lot of health issues, and that's what put a lot of the weight on.
Okay. But that's how a lot it is with a lot of people. It's we say it, we put it on quote overnight, but we mean by overnight is over the last decade, I put on 100 pounds.
Yes.
Okay. So is there anything besides the health concerns? Is there anything that do you still have the health concerns?
I do. I have Hashimoto, which is a immune disorder that affects your thyroid, and so that's what's helped along with the back surgery. That's what's helped put on the weight, and so now my medicine's adjusted and I should be able to start kind of working on taking it off. But it's also a lot of changing my eating habits. And I've had the same eating habits for 50 years. So it's not something that's very easy to overcome and change.
Right. Okay. So the Hashimoto, hold up. Is that Hashimoto?
Isn't that the cool? Yeah, it's Hashimoto.
No, it's not the coolest name I've ever heard, but it is fun to say. It rolls off the tongue. Yeah. But so does that, help me, give me the 30-second cliff notes of what that does.
Basically, what it does, it attacks your thyroid and doesn't allow it to produce thyroid hormones, and it can shut down. If it's untreated, it can shut down your heart. I mean, it can really wreak havoc on your body if it's not under control and taken care of. It can lead to celiac disease, which is basically inflammation of your small intestines where your food's not being digested. There's so many things that it can do. And it has different effects, like it can cause you to be fatigued. It can cause you to have brain fog. It can large weight gain. It can attack weak parts of your body. It's just pretty honestly, it's a miserable thing to have, but it is now treatable, and it's, you know, that you can get it under control with medication and changing your food habits and getting exercise.
Okay. So have you ever been on an exercise program before?
I have tried different things. I do good for a little bit and then I stop.
What do you mean you stop? Like you just stop doing whatever the exercise is?
Yeah, life kind of takes over. And I push those type of things like taking care of myself and my health to the back burner to take care of everybody else and manage the stress and the jobs that I have before I take care of myself.
Okay. So you have been on a plane in your whole life?
A what? A plane?
Yeah, an airplane.
Yeah, I've been on an airplane.
Don't you know whenever they you're backing up from the gate and the stewardess mm-hmm. is going, here's the exits, here's the restrooms, here's, you know, and they come on and they right. say, in the case of a water evacuation or if we lose right. cabin pressure, the oxygen masks are going to come down, and they say, mm-hmm. make sure that you put your son, daughter, husband's, kids, dogs, grandmom's mask on first before you put your own mask on. Don't they say that?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I think it says put yours on first and then deep breaths and then give it to the rest of your family.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because the most important person this whole deal is you.
Right.
Because if you can't right. read, you're no good to nobody else.
That is true.
Okay. So what's the last exercise program that you did that you quit? Do you know what it was called? Or was it at the gym or the YMCA or whatever?
Well, I did, what was it? Metabolife. I think that was, yeah, Metabolife, I believe is what it was. To that work on my metabolism. Yeah. Okay,
that sounds like a pill, not an exercise program, but
it had an exercise program, changing your eating habits, and it had some pills to go with it. So it was a combination, and I'd go in and get weighed once a week, and they held me accountable and stuff. But I quit going because I got so busy at work and my bosses didn't understand the fact that, you know, you need to really take care of yourself, and you know, they always feel that work's more important. So,
well, luckily we don't have that issue anymore, do we?
That is correct. We have eliminated one of the issues that stops me. Well, two. I'm going to say we've eliminated two.
Okay. Because now, whenever you start, you know, working for yourself, which you're trying to build back up again, because at one point you did,
yes.
I know, you know, from previous conversations we've had. But now who's responsible for going to the gym?
I'm responsible every day for myself.
Right. So you don't have to consult with the boss or the board or the owner, because whenever the same person who you brush their teeth every day, same person. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, do you like working out in the morning? Or do you like working out in the evening?
Well, I was working out in the evening with my friend, but today we went this morning, me and my daughter, and I think I liked it better this morning going. I feel like I've had more energy today because I've been able to get out and do more. And like yesterday, I was pretty much laid up all day, really, really sick. I had a really bad flare up and stuff. And so today it was like I bounced back, went to the gym and felt much better now from going.
Okay.
I didn't last as long as I normally do. I only could do about 30 minutes because of my breathing and my chest was bothering me, but I do feel better now that I got up and went this morning.
Okay. So for right now, let's park that decision about going to the gym. And let me switch gears and ask you about this, the Hashimoto thing. What are you aware of? What causes that to flare up?
I'm trying to figure it out because it can be so many things. It can be stress. It can be food. It can just be like an element in the air. So I'm trying to figure it out. We do know that gluten, processed foods, things like that can trigger it. But I've had a couple of these flare-ups like I did on Sunday, and we're not 100% sure what is triggering that type of flare-up. So I'm keeping a journal on what I eat and stuff to see if we can figure out what's actually triggering. If it's a certain type of food I'm eating, is it, whatever. I'm trying to figure that out.
Okay,
But
so
it can be so many different things out there, and you pretty much have to go through and eliminate things to see what that trigger is. I know stress is one of mine.
is it something you could maybe? I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination. I have played one on TV before, but I'm not a real life doctor. What, can you call whatever doctor you go see for this and say, hey, you have like a generalized list of I should avoid this and not avoid this, and this is okay, this is not okay. Do you have one of those lists?
Well, I have something similar. I have a book that I've been slowly reading. I hate to say it, one of the most boringest books I've ever read, but it's because it's more of medical terms and what I can do, what I can't. I'm also just actually found it on Facebook. There's a group that has tips and tricks for people with Hashimoto. So I've been kind of watching them, and it's based on just everybody's different. So they throw a lot of suggestions out there. And so those are the things I can try. But the biggest thing I'm gonna have to do, and I know it, because I would say 5 years ago when I felt the best, we've discussed this a couple of times, but when I felt the best that I have in a long time, I had done what they call that AIP diet. And I eliminated all foods and then slowly added it back to see what I had a reaction to and stuff. And I actually came off all my medication and everything for about a year. I think that was, about 4 years ago, I came off of all my medication for a year, and it was kind of more or less like a remission. And then when I got COVID, it triggered everything, and it like put it in overdrive. So I'm still recovering from all that. So I think I'm gonna have to go back on that diet. And I just really hate to because the food is no good. I mean, I'm trying to change my mindset, but the food is awful.
Okay. And
I
then,
like to eat good food.
yeah, who doesn't? Okay. And is the Hashimoto illness, is that something that you can get rid of, or you can just manage it? Like you're stuck with it for life, or you can get rid of it?
I'm stuck with it for life, but it can be managed, and you can set it in remission.
Okay. All right. So I would, it doesn't mean that you can't, again, I'm not a doctor, but it doesn't mean that you can't have you know, a steak or whatever kind of makes it flare up.
No,
it just
no.
needs to be in moderation where you're not, you know, eating a steak every single day for dinner.
Right. No, I can eat steaks, which is good because that would just eliminate everything for me. But like, I'm not going to be able to eat bread, like white bread, anything like real processed. So there are foods. It's just not so much like I can't have my Cheetos, my Cheeto Puffs, and I can't eat all that fun food with my grandbabies. You know, I'm going to have to be one of them GGs that have to, you know, stick to this diet.
I wouldn't say you can't have a Cheeto, but is two Cheetos really going to make the whole thing flare up if you have two Cheetos?
It can. Yes.
Well,
yes.
But there's a difference in, can it fill it up, flare it up, and it does flare it up.
Right. I have to find what flares up on my body. So it's like one of those things you have to eliminate and stay. You do, when you eliminate, you have to stay away from that food, or it'll put you down for a day or so.
Okay. Okay, so what would you like to do differently in relation to your diets? Is it just like a trial and error thing? Do you kind of like know that there's a good chance if I eat this, this, and this, that I'm going to probably at least have a mild flare up? Do you kind of know mm-hmm. that already? Or is it like, I'm just going to roll the dice and see what happens?
It's actually weird because, so I did that 5 years ago, and the things that flared back then don't flare now since I had the COVID. So it's like I have to do everything all over and figure out what those triggers are. It's okay. Like my whole body, like it's really strange. Even my doctor said she's had a couple of people do it, but it's like the way my body accepted things back then is so different than it since I've had that COVID that I had real bad. Because, you know, they put me, I was down for 2 to 3 months with it, and they were trying to put me in the hospital, and I wouldn't let them put me in the hospital because I told them I would probably die in the hospital because the mindset, you know, in a COVID ward, not seeing the family. So my doctor allowed me to stay at home, and I had to go into their office every 2 days for blood work and everything for like 3 months. So the chemistry on my body changed. And so now I have to redo the diet again. The problem is when I start doing it, I get sick. Like the same stuff, it makes me really sick, like I was yesterday. So
maybe you tried.
I don't know if it's more of my mindset. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know if it's more my mindset or if it's just actually my body, just like cranberry juice, because you got to do kind of a flush and you got to eliminate, you know, all the like dairy and all that, and then slowly add it back and stuff. And like, I can't get the food down. It's weird. I don't know. I'm strange.
Okay. Well, it's not strange. It's you just don't have all the info. You're playing.
Yeah.
You're playing checkers, and the disease is playing chess. You're not even on the same.
Yes.
You don't even know what hurts you and what doesn't hurt you. So
right.
I would say there's got to be a way that you can make that process go faster. So, but don't ask mm-hmm. me how. But there's got to be some way to do that.
Yeah. Right. Right. I think a lot of it is get my mind in the right place to do it and be held accountable and be consistent. You know, something to trigger me, like if I'm going to pick up like bread or something that's processed, something to slap my hand or something. That's where I've got to come up with, is that to keep me from doing it.
So what my friend does, because my friend loves mm-hmm. hamburgers and I love hamburgers.
Right.
But what he does is whenever he gets his burger, he takes the top bun and pitches it.
Yeah.
So he gets just a little bread, not all the bread.
A whole bunch. Mm-hmm.
So, because generally the top bun is bigger than the bottom.
Bottom bun, yeah.
So he takes the top and just pitches it, and he just eats the burger where it's like the bread and then the lettuce and all that stuff.
Right.
And so maybe experiment with that.
Yeah, and I was thinking actually too, if I could get myself to do it, is doing a little bit of meal preparation, because I've gotten a habit in the last year or so, because it's just me, because my husband travels, that I just go grab something or I DoorDash food in, because cooking for one person really kind of sucks, you know, and your portions and everything are off. So I was thinking maybe doing some meal prep during the week. And then that way I have the stuff that I can eat and I don't have to worry about it being processed, because most of your restaurants use processed foods. They don't use all natural and organic and stuff like that. So I was kind of thinking about doing some stuff like that. I was just trying to figure out how to work that into my time schedules.
Well, I mean, you got to eat. So, but if it's not that big a deal, if you have it, say you make it for lunch. Well, if you make it for lunch, you'd have the exact same thing for dinner.
For dinner.
And then if you're not making for one, you're making for two, because you're going to have one, then you're going to have the second meal. Or so you could make a meal, and then you could have that for lunch the next day, and then make something else for dinner, and then have lunch be portion A and dinner be portion B, and then the next day have lunch be portion B and dinner be portion A. It's already cooked.
Yeah. Yeah, I could do something like that.
So, or if you have...
Now, the real kicker is I hate to cook. I can't cook very well.
Well, now that's a different issue. Okay.
I know. See?
But I think the more important thing, what it sounds like, it's just right now you're in a trial and error phase. Mm-hmm. To see, like...
And okay, it's frustrating.
This is good, but are you tracking it?
Yes, I do have a tracker on my phone, and I do pretty good with it. Probably not 100%, but I'm probably about 85% with tracking everything, and like my medicine, what time I take it, and what I'm drinking, how much I'm working out. Like my app this morning at the gym, it ties right into my Fitbit, so it's calculating my, you know, how much I'm working out, because I'm only doing the bicycle right now, or the treadmill right now. I'm doing little things and adding to it. Valerie said tomorrow she wanted me to do a little bit of weights. I'm not looking forward to it, but I'll get there. I think my biggest thing is it all frustrates me, you know, because either my body hurts so bad after working out that it just makes you not want to go the next day. So you take a day off and then you get like that. So it's just things I've got to kind of overcome and get my mind set and get in a habit of doing it and not, I guess, procrastinating and putting it off.
Okay. So that's exactly what we're going to talk about right now. Okay.
So
when I started going to the gym about a year ago, I found the same thing. I originally went 3 days a week. I went Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I can probably add in one more. So then I did that for like probably 3 weeks, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or maybe a month.
Right.
Then I went Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Did that for 3 or 4 weeks. I was like, huh, I might be able to maybe squeeze in a fifth one in it, because I don't want to go more than five. So right. Then I started going Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, taking off Thursday and Sunday. But then after listening to my body and seeing how I felt, I didn't feel good when I went to the gym.
Yeah.
But I did that for about a month and I was like, oh no, my feet started to hurt. My knees started to hurt. So now I'm back to where I go Monday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, Friday afternoon, and Saturday morning. That's when I go. If I'm in town, I go 4 days a week.
Right.
But I only go 4 days a week. Because I want my body to rest. Then I want to go work out. Then I want my body to rest. Then I want to go work out. Now I do Friday and Saturday back.
Right.
But then after Saturday morning, I'm off the rest of the day Saturday and all day Sunday. And I'll go back till Monday afternoon.
Right.
But what you could do on the treadmill is like, I don't know if you walk, whatever you walk at, 4 or 5.
Yeah, I just walk. I'm a slow walker yet because I'm still building back up from that disc replacement in my back.
Right. So what you might be able to do is maybe just put a little bit of incline. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. Like, say you walk, I don't know if your treadmill is 0 and it's flat road, or 1 or it's flat road.
That's 2.
2 yeah, is flat road.
About 2. Yeah, 2 to 5 is what I've been kind of going with.
No, but what is on your treadmill at your gym? What do they call flat road incline? Is it 0 or is it
0?
Okay, 0.
It's 0.
So maybe you mm-hmm. walk for, say, 10 minutes on 0, and then you walk for 30 seconds on 1, and then you lower back mm-hmm. down to 0, like you're going over a hill, give you a little bit of incline.
Yeah.
So that may help, because then it's like, it's gonna make you work a little harder, but you're not working harder for an hour. You're working harder for, say, 30 seconds or a minute, and then you lower it right. back down a flat road, and then you raise it up again, and then okay. you lower it again, then you raise it up again, or you can play with the speed. Maybe if you yeah. walk it 2 miles an hour, maybe whenever you're on the incline, you go to 2, and then maybe when you lower it back down to flat road, maybe you go to 2.4 or 2.6 or 2.3.
Right.
And then after you do that for a minute or so, then you walk back down to 2 at flat road. Okay. And you see how it goes.
Okay.
And if you like working out in the morning, I don't like working out in the morning because my body's not really lubed up, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. But when I go to my gym, we're doing rowing and strength floor, and we're running on the treadmill.
Right.
Every time. But if you're just on the treadmill, because I wouldn't say just on the treadmill, because walking is the only thing that we're designed to do.
Right.
A silverback gorilla or a rhino or an elephant are way stronger than we are.
Right.
And a cheetah can run faster than we can run. And, you know, a gazelle can jump higher than we can jump.
Right.
But we're made to walk. But the principle goes, you just try to do a little bit more every single time you go. So let's say you're going to walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And for, say, this week, you already did that today. How long did you walk today?
Right. I did 30 minutes today.
Okay. So say you take off tomorrow to let your body rest.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
For another 30 minutes.
Okay.
And you take off Thursday. And you go back on Friday. And you okay. walk another 30 minutes. And you're done. You're done for the week. You take the weekend off. Monday rolls around. 30 minutes. Off Tuesday. Wednesday, 30 minutes. Thursday off. Friday, another 30 minutes.
Okay.
And you do that for 3 weeks straight, 30 minutes, mm-hmm. not 40, not 22, 30 minutes.
30. Mm-hmm.
But then instead of adding a day, if it was me, I would, okay, now for the next, say, 3 weeks, I'm going to walk 32 minutes a day.
Okay.
Three times a week. It's only 2 extra right. minutes. It's not that much.
Yeah.
So you do that for 2 or 3 weeks. Then you bump it up to maybe 35 minutes, 2 or mm-hmm. 3 times a week, or 3 times a week. You do that for 2 or 3 weeks. Then maybe you go up to 40 minutes, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Then once you get where you can comfortably walk for 30 or 40 minutes, then maybe you consider adding a fourth day. But it depends on your body and how it reacts. You might not like 4 days.
Right. Yeah.
But walking one day is better than walking no days.
That is correct.
So walking 3 days is, by definition, 3 times better than walking
nothing. Day, yes.
Which is 400 times better than walking nothing.
Right.
because you said okay. that 30 minute walk today, you've felt better today. You've had a little bit more clarity, not really brain fog, and you've had a productive day, right. but you got your workout done early.
Yes.
Because here's the thing about getting it done early. If you get it done early or first, then nothing else can get in the way.
That is true.
Because it's first.
Nobody can talk me out of going.
No.
Or change my plans.
You can't talk you out of going.
Yes.
Because
it's better to go in the mornings.
We've already established the fact that you're responsible.
Yes.
Because you don't have to answer to a boss anymore. You're your own boss.
Correct.
So when you say you've got a board meeting, you're going to talk to yourself for about 10 minutes.
Yes.
Because you're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have it to where, like on my calendar, I like handwriting it, I use different colors.
Right.
So green is when I have a job, because mm-hmm. green's money.
Money.
Blue is when I have a call like this that's a current client.
Right.
Red is when it's a call with someone who's not a client. Because I always use one of these.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's an old school pen.
Yeah, it's the greatest $2 you'll ever spend in your whole life. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Pop quiz. This is free. You know where this is? You know where this is made?
Uh-uh.
France.
Really?
How about that? So that's what it says on the pen. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is, but then on my calendar, when I have something that's black, that's a non-movable meeting that I have. So today at 4:15 on my calendar, I'm going to the gym.
It's in black. Okay.
So that might be something to play with as well, because, you know, if you're going to continue going with your daughter, I know she doesn't live right on the corner from you, and she can't physically right. get there to the gym at 7 because she's got to take her kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's she drops the kids off at 7 or whenever they have to be at school. And it's
right. And then we meet there.
She's there, you go straight to the gym.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what we had actually talked about this morning, is start doing that.
Perfect. Okay. So look at it this way, though. You're one day in.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get to day 7 until you get past day 1.
That's correct. One day at a time, taking small bites.
Right. Which is what starting 3 days a week does, instead of starting at 12 days a week.
Right.
Because I don't know how it is where you live, but where we live, there's only 7 days in the week.
That is like, correct.
Does your calendar go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, someday, one day, then Sunday?
Nope.
No, you got 7 just like I got.
Yeah.
But those 3 days, think about it. If you went 3 times a week for the whole year, there's 52 weeks in the year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's 156 workouts a year. 156.
Yeah, that's better than none.
That's 156 times better than nothing.
Times better than nothing.
But if you think about it, so if you only did 30 minutes for the whole year, that's 156 times 30 divided by 60. That'd be 78 hours a year walking.
Wow.
Or almost 2 work weeks.
Yeah. Well,
work week for us normal folk. When at your old job, that would be about a day and a half. But most people work about 40 hours a week. Okay.
Yeah.
But if we just inch it up a little bit at a time, over time, it's way over 78 hours, way over.
Right.
You're quickly getting to where it's, because once you start getting to where, okay, I can do 30, now you're doing 32, then you're doing 35. You're quickly going to get to where you're going to be walking 100 hours in the year, 30 or 40 minutes, three or four times a week.
Yeah.
Which is not terrible.
No, it makes a difference.
Okay, so, and I would track, I would add one thing to your tracking when you're tracking your food. I would add a column that says, how do I feel today?
Okay.
Because then you could say like, okay, well, I felt good this day, this day, this day, and this is what I ate. And I felt bad, you know, on these days, and this is what I ate. Are they the same?
Yeah.
Because then you can do the process of elimination. Like, okay, well, I ate this, 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 that day, and I didn't feel very good. But then I ate this, 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 this day, and I felt pretty good. So maybe I need to have more like this type food, less of like this type food.
Okay.
But if you don't track it, you won't know. You got to track it.
That's right. That's what I'm trying to get better at tracking.
So what I would do to track it is after you eat, you put it in however you're tracking it. Eat, track it.
Yeah.
Eat, track it, eat, track it, eat, track it. Because then you won't have to think about what you ate 2.5 weeks ago.
At all. Yeah. No, you can go back and see it all.
And what you may try, now again, this may make it flare up. I don't totally know. What you might try is, what if you have you ever played with intermittent fasting? Where you like you don't eat breakfast, or you just have lunch and dinner, or you only eat, you know, like a kind of a brunch, kind of a late breakfast, early lunch, and you only eat two meals a day instead of three meals a day. Have you tried that?
I have tried something similar to that. I don't have enough energy to get through the day when I do that. So
okay,
I've been kind of doing the Golo to help me with my food, where you eat a vegetable. A good carb, a protein, and a fruit. And so that's what I've been kind of doing, starting to do that. And I got off of it, and now I'm starting back to doing it.
Awesome. Okay.
So,
but think of the mindset when you're going to the gym. You're not going to work out 6 days a week or 7 days a week.
Right.
You're just going to work out, say, 3 days a week to start. Say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you've already checked off Monday. So now you're going to give yourself, you're not going to the gym tomorrow, and you're going to be okay with that.
Okay.
You're going to go on Wednesday.
Yes.
So you can build up your endurance and your stamina.
Mm-hmm.
But on the food, you start tracking. Now you track that every day, but here's the deal.
Right.
As a general rule, you try to eat good or as good as possible 80% of the time.
Right.
Because then, out of 10 days, if you eat good to very good or really good 8 of those days, that's pretty good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's better than where I was.
So, and the other thing is, why do you think you quit?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think I let life just get in the way and just kind of push it aside, because in the past I haven't felt that it was very important.
So you're not important?
I am.
You can't be important and let everything else that's not you get in the way of you being important. Can't be both. Can't be both.
No, no.
So could it be that you don't think you're worthy, that you're good enough, that you don't think it's possible that you can that you can lose the weight. Do you think any of those could be the case or all of them?
I think the old April, yes. The new April, that's not going to stop me.
Perfect. Now that's what we like to hear. Okay. Because I know I've told you before, but it's relevant here. A lot of people struggle with self-confidence. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever enough. But the key to self-confidence is keeping the promises you make to yourself.
Right. And I think that with me doing the commitment, the document for my commitment document, that's actually helped me to kind of leave that not worthy, not, you know, all that in the past and move forward with the self-confidence. And that's because that is a commitment to me that I wanted to push through this and start treating my body as a temple and not just, you know, an old rundown house, I guess. Or
as Jim Rohn said, your body's a temple. It's not a woodshed.
Yeah, that's it. I was trying to think of what the word was for it.
Yeah, woodshed. That's what Jim Rohn called it.
Yeah.
But do you ever feel sometimes like you're in daddy's garage and daddy's got a real nice like Ferrari or Corvette and you just want to go take it without telling your dad? You ever feel like that?
Not really.
No, I mean, not necessarily a Ferrari or a Corvette, but
yeah, no.
There's a nice Cadillac or there's a real nice truck or something in there. And you're like, I really want to take that. But
yeah,
daddy would not be very happy if I did, you know?
Yeah.
But the key is you're the freaking Ferrari.
Yeah.
You're the Ferrari. It's not daddy's Ferrari. You're the Ferrari or the Porsche or whatever you want to call it. Okay.
Yeah.
But whenever you tell yourself that you're going to go to the gym tomorrow and you go to the gym, that self-confidence meter ticks up a little bit every single time you do that.
Okay.
Because you're known as a person that keeps their word.
Yes.
Especially
keeps my commitment.
Especially to themselves. Okay. So
yeah, I take my commitments very serious. And for me to put it on paper and stuff, that's going to be a contract with myself.
Okay.
So I have to keep going forward.
Well, you don't have to. You get to or you choose.
I do for me.
You don't have to do anything.
Right.
But you can get to or choose to. Because then you remain in control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're not letting outside stuff force stuff upon you where you're taking control of your own life.
Yes.
Okay. So what if I told you that I want you to commit to going 3 days a week to the gym, come hell or high water, you're going. Unless the gym doesn't have power. They don't have power. Yes, you get a day.
I can do that.
Okay. But what if I told you that you're going to commit to me right here, that you're going to go to the gym 3 days a week, no questions asked, every single day for the rest of your life, no questions asked. What would you say?
I would do it.
No. Every single week, no questions asked. For the rest of your life.
I don't know if I can commit for the rest of my life.
Perfect.
I can commit now.
Hold on. Wait. Stop. I don't want you to commit for every single week for the rest of your life.
Right.
I don't even want you to commit to the end of the month.
Okay.
All I want you to commit to is going Wednesday.
I can do that.
Only, not Friday, not next Monday, not next Wednesday,
just Wednesday.
Not next Friday, just the next time Wednesday. You go, you're committed to Wednesday to going.
I can commit to that.
And if the good Lord allows you to wake up on Wednesday and you go to the gym, and then he allows you to wake up on Thursday and he allows you to wake up on Friday after you leave the gym on Wednesday, only commit to going to the gym on Friday.
Okay.
Because then you won't get overwhelmed and quit. Because you're not trying to climb all the mountain in one fell swoop. All you're trying to take is one step in front of the other. That's all you're trying to do. So would you be willing to commit, only commit to go to the gym on Wednesday?
Yes.
When are you going to go?
I'm going Wednesday morning.
When?
At like, it'd be about like 7:30.
7:30 Wednesday morning. And you're going to walk on the, you're going to walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Awesome. Because if you commit to the smaller bite-sized chunks, you can't get overwhelmed because you're not committed to this for the next 7 years. You're only committed to doing it
right. One bite at a time.
That's how you eat an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, I can do that.
Perfect. And I know you can do it, but will you do it?
Yes, I will do it.
Okay, because what I need, you need to tweak one of your, some of your language just a little bit. Instead of saying, I used to do this, and I didn't commit or whatever. But then you could say, but that was then and this is now.
Right.
And I'm not committed
to live in the present
for the next 2 years. I'm only committed to doing it tomorrow, or for you would be Wednesday, right. But I'm only committed to doing it tomorrow.
Right.
Because then this comes back to earlier what we talked about, where it took you a decade to put the weight on.
Right.
But you got to let grace in and realize that you can't take it all off in a month either.
No, it's going to happen over time.
Well, I mean, it's not going to take 10 years, but it may take.
I hope not.
Well, I mean, I guess it's possible, but my guess is that it's probably going to be a year to 2 years.
Yeah.
To get it off and keep it off, because you're going to change the picture of how you see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see yourself as a person that weighs what you weigh. You're going to start seeing yourself as a person that weighs what you want to weigh.
Right.
And then when you're going to eat. Just
changing whatever, my mindset.
Yes. You change the picture you have of yourself. Cause then whenever you're going to eat whatever you're going to eat, you could eventually start telling yourself, would someone who weighs what I want to weigh eat this? Or would someone someone weighs what I want to weigh eat six of these?
Yeah.
Maybe they only eat one or half of one or none. But you'll never know until you track it, and you'll never know until you just get on a sensible plan that doesn't make you feel like you've been hit by a bus every single time you go to the gym. Because who wants that? Nobody wants that.
No, no. Nobody's then you get frustrated and you don't want to go.
Of course, because you feel terrible. You'll feel worse after you left the gym than you did when you were at the gym.
Exactly, exactly.
But that day off between will help. Because then you're giving yourself a whole day to rest and you know you're not going to the gym that day.
Right.
And you let your body rest. And then you go back and you're fresh the next morning because you rested the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay. So.
Sounds good.
Well done. Thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for having me.
Awesome. It was a pleasure. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye.
David has been a coach basically his entire life. He was made to coach people. He loves seeing people transform their lives through coaching. It's been said that it takes a coach to get you to a place inside yourself that you can't get to by yourself. It's also been said that you're only one conversation away from a completely changed life, and that nothing ever happens outside of a conversation. If you'd like to have a conversation with David about where you currently are in life and where you want to go, reach out to him at davidcreel.com.